Let's go.
Welcome to Around the Cooler, the fantasy football podcast.
Man, that pitch is loud.
With your hosts, Brady Connors, Frankie Morales, and Daniel Acosta.
I think we hit a home run with her, dude.
Yeah, me too.
She's still loud.
You know what? And when we make it big and start making money off this thing, she's going to come back and ask for some shares for sure.
I'm okay with that, dude.
Yeah, I mean, I'm willing to share.
I'm also willing to share. She's a big part of our pod now.
Agreed. Welcome to Around the Cooler, the fantasy football podcast.
I don't remember her name, though.
I don't know who her name is either.
Who cares? Sorry. Go ahead.
It's your boy, Sweet D. I'm here with Brady.
Yo.
And Frank.
Yo.
This is probably the most consecutive episodes all three of us have been together.
I was just thinking about that earlier today.
I was going to say that, too. Last week, I forgot because we were talking about the beers for too long.
We're doing a better job making it work this year.
Yeah.
Let's just jump right into it, boys. This week, we are going to be breaking down the AFC East. A little bit of news. Jared Goff, probably the most average white quarterback in the league, was extended, and he got paid like a big boy. 4 years, $212 million. What's your take?
I think this is just a byproduct of where the QB market is at nowadays, dude. Like, you know, Jared Goff, like you said, average QB at best, dude. But
not $212 million.
Definitely not. But I think, obviously, what he's done in Detroit has a lot to play into, you know, the amount he got paid. So
it's
good for him.
It's fucking Detroit, bro.
It's Detroit.
I mean, I was joking with you guys.
Give that
guy
$500 million, dude.
I was joking with you guys. I think this definitely hurts Jared Goff's stock, dude, this year. I expect him fully to mail it in, not be as good as he was the last couple of years, dude, at all.
And you know what? I would respect it.
Yeah.
You know?
Just be, hey, man, I got paid, and I don't care anymore, dude. That's fine.
You shouldn't have to.
A lot of athletes do that, brother.
I mean, is he getting paid for the home games and the away games? Because there's two different guys here.
I forgot about that. Yeah. Who knows, man? But good for him. That's a lot.
Good for him. Good for the Lions. I mean,
it's the going rate for a quarterback that can win two playoff games.
Right. So. Agreed. In
what they either way you tear it, he sadly has earned that money.
They were a half a football away from the Super Bowl.
Yep.
And I honestly would have loved to see them play the Chiefs, dude.
That would have been cool.
Yeah. Over the Niners, personally.
Yeah.
I think that would have been a better Super Bowl.
I would have loved to see just the Niners lose in the NFC Championship game, personally, but whatever.
You hate that team.
I do. I hate them, dude.
I hate them. Other news. MVS, Martez Valdez Scantling, is going to Buffalo. Thank God he's not going to the Chargers. There's no need to waste money on that guy. But Brady, the Bills did.
I mean, we need bodies in that wide receiver room. And I'm going to get into that here in a bit. But this guy doesn't really move anything for me, to be honest, as a fan or fantasy, which I will allude to later, like I said.
As far as other news, rookie minicamp and OTAs were starting this week. So we're getting our first glimpse at some of these rookie quarterbacks. And we can't take too much stock into what we're seeing. It's freaking May. But it is nice to finally see some footballs getting slung around.
Yep.
And some of these quarterbacks, like, you know, like, you get a little excited. Like, hey, dude, like, that's a good ball he's throwing there. There's enough film out there where you could actually line two of them up. Like, did you guys see the Jaden Daniels versus Drake May?
No.
Footage?
No.
So I'm sure one looks great and one looks
like trash. Yes. So basically, at full speed, and you could take this with a grain of salt, but it basically made it look like Drake May was throwing the ball in slow motion. And Jaden Daniels' release was so fast compared to his, dude. Both balls were traveling about 50 yards downfield.
Yeah, and just like take any of that stuff with a grain of salt, but I think it's clear that Jaden is the better QB at this point in his career.
Agreed.
And
older.
And Mayo has recently,
Gerard, the head coach?
Gerard, yeah.
Yes.
Recently came out and said Drake May has a lot of work to do, dude. So
yeah.
That's what I want to see from my Devy baby.
Yeah.
I mean, I think that's why Drake May fell down everybody's draft board, right? And then Jaden eventually became the clear-cut number two because it was like, oh, are you going to take Drake May or Caleb? And then it was, is it Jaden or Drake? And then it was, is it Drake or McCarthy that's going to slide all the way to the fucking Vikings? So there you have it.
I just wish, I mean, we touched on this. I just wish he had landed in a better spot. Like, I don't feel like Drake May. I don't feel like New England is the best place for him to develop.
Nope.
It's for no QB, dude. There's nothing there.
Yeah. It's like when you get into a groove of that you're doing well in New England, bam, the cold weather hits and you're ass again.
Yeah.
So.
God knows I couldn't survive in New England, bro.
Fucking A, dude.
Hell no.
This is the time of the year where I feel like everyone will overreact to like every little clip that you see.
100%.
You know, like there's that footage of JJ McCarthy like just trying to toss the ball back and forth with like some trainer and he can't even hit the trainer fucking 10 yards away. You know, and then everyone's like, well, it looks like Justin Jefferson's requesting a trade.
Yep.
Shit like that. But so we're recording this on a Tuesday night, which means tomorrow is the official NFL schedule release. We're already getting some leaks.
Yep.
So we got KC opening up against Baltimore week one.
Ooh. We got to do something for that game.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And
wow,
then
those teams suck, dude.
And then they follow
it
up.
Just the reason, dude.
We don't have to do shit for that game, dude. Dude. Fuck those teams.
Cruise over here, man. Slam Bruce.
Another reason just to come hang out at D's house. Yeah. Bro.
Another reason to drink a beer. Let's go.
Or three or six. So KC's got a tough start. They open against Baltimore, and then right after that, they take on Cincinnati. So two AFC North teams right from the rip. The Eagles are playing the Packers week one. So that's a Friday night game in Brazil.
That's pretty rad.
That's pretty cool.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. So far, we got the Browns versus the Cowboys, which is overshadowed by Tom Brady's announcing debut. So that'll be Tom's first game as an announcer. The Niners are opening up against the Jets on Monday Night Football. So it looks like Aaron Rodgers is going to get his ass kicked again by the Niners.
Yep.
In San Francisco. Brady.
Let's hope he makes the field this time.
Your Buffalo Bills have the first Thursday night game.
We do, against Miami. I'm not going to lie. We're probably going to lose, but that's okay.
And low-key, I was hoping the Chargers would get this game. But it looks like the Panthers are playing the Giants in Germany. This is not week one, but it looks like the Panthers have a Germany game. And the Chargers were like one of the few teams that were like in the running to go play them. It just made sense. But
that's an odd.
Instead, they took two terrible teams. Yes. And said, so everybody just go ahead and resume sleeping that morning.
I can kind of understand the Giants based off of market. But the Panthers is a weird ass pick, dude.
So I thought, I was like thinking about it. I'm like, it's probably the Chargers or the Bengals, dude. Because the Giants are still, they play in a large market and they're more popular than the Chargers. So it's like, it kind of makes sense. Like, go send the Chargers or the Bengals, like two of their lower budget teams, over to go play another lower budget team, the Panthers. But to send them the shitty Giants and the Panthers, like, just a huge apology from ATC for all the Germans out there. I think we have a couple German listeners.
Apparently.
I am sorry.
It's a little odd, but the more I think about it, South Carolina is white as shit, so it makes sense to go to Germany, dude.
It makes sense to put to have them host, the Panthers host in Germany.
Yes, yes, yes.
But to send them the shitty Giants, dude.
Yeah.
The Bryce Young, Daniel Jones Bowl.
Yeah. But those other matchups look pretty intriguing.
I could see Malik Nabers having a hammy during that week, dude.
Oh, man. He might, dude. Who knows?
Let's get to Crack'em. Bro, what do you got for the Crack'em?
So, before I came over here, I watched a documentary on Netflix. I'm trying to remember the official title. I think it's called The Final Attack on Wembley. And it outlined the Euro 2020 championships. This is English football we're talking about now, not American football, English football.
Was
so
this
soccer for all our American listeners?
Was this Italy versus England?
This was Italy versus England in 2020. And basically the documentary outlines how rowdy English football fans are. So I know you guys were mentioning that you haven't seen it, but it is an absolute fucking trip, dude. So they literally like break down the whole day from like 12 hours before match time. Fans are literally at Wembley getting shit face hammered, dude. They're doing fucking cocaine.
It's a home game.
In the middle of the street, dude, getting balls naked, just absolutely losing their shit. This ends up inevitably going very, very poorly, dude. Very poorly. So basically, come match time, anyone who doesn't have a ticket basically ambushes the security guards, the stewards, anyone that's in their way from getting in the stadium. They just bulldoze over, bro. And these people are literally just getting trampled. I am shocked that no one actually died, dude, to be honest. This is how rowdy that shit was. I completely forgot about it. So I just want to crack them to the passion of English football fans, dude.
I love it.
Yeah, so let's do it.
And this today we're cracking Fall River Brewing, a hazy IPA, the Goo Goo Muck Hazy IPA from Fall River, San Diego, California. Represent Fall River, or not Fall River, but just Fall Brewing. Is actually one of my favorite breweries.
Okay. I've never heard of it.
Neither have I.
So let's ride.
Oh, fuck.
Okay. That's interesting. It's got a little bite. I like it.
Ooh, real good. I like it. I like it a lot.
Where'd you say you got this?
Barron's.
Per usual.
So... I drank.
We need to get sponsored by Barron's.
I drank.
That's great.
So yeah, I'm on a quest to find like this beer that I love, dude. So after one of my hockey games, like it's a beer league. So after like we drink beers during the games, like after the games, and somebody had a six pack of like Fall IPAs, and I don't know what beer it was. So I'm trying to like drink all their IPAs to figure out like which beer it was, dude, because it was one of my favorite IPAs I've ever had.
Yeah.
So. This one is pretty damn good.
That one's really good.
It's pretty good, man.
Okay.
I like the good, the first drink there.
So we are talking about the AFC East. We talked about the AFC West last week. So we're still in our off-season mode. We're going to talk about free agency ads, additions, draft picks. And let's just dive into the AFC East champions, the Buffalo Bills. Brady.
Let's do it, dude.
Your team. Take it away.
Yeah, man. Honestly, pretty quiet off-season for us in Buffalo. Some players we added: Curtis Samuel, Mac Collins, and the legend, Mitch Trubisky.
He's back, baby.
He's back. He never went anywhere, baby.
Once a Bill, always a Bill.
Always a Bill, baby. Players we lost in free agency. I mean, the one that stands out the most, obviously, for fantasy purposes, Stephon Diggs, traded to the Houston Texans for, I don't even remember what.
Picks?
Fourth round pick.
But, we didn't get enough value in return, I will say that. But Stephon's gone. Some players that we drafted, notable again, this is strictly for fantasy purposes. Keon Coleman, our second round pick, wide receiver out of Florida State. And then we picked up Ray Davis.
Your boy, dude.
My boy, Ray Davis.
You're going to draft him tonight.
From Kentucky. And then he was
Second round pick for Stephon.
Oh, okay.
Second and sixth.
But Ray was I'm trying to remember where Ray went before Kentucky.
Good job, producer Dave.
Yeah. Thanks for looking out, Dave. But I digress. It doesn't matter. He's not going to get any playing time. Well, he will, but you know, it's not going to be impactful.
Ray Davis.
Yeah.
Okay.
So let's look at the depth chart here, boys, for my Buffalo Bills. So obviously at the top, at QB, we got Joshy Boy, followed by Mitch. At the running back position, we have James Cook, Ray Davis, Ty Johnson, and we picked up the legend, Frank Gore himself. Frank Gore Sr., by the way.
That's Frank Gore Sr., yeah. Yes. Junior is still looking for a job. His dad took it, dude.
Yeah, he's in Buffalo now. And looking at this, like I was going to mention D and Frank, I think Ty Johnson currently has the hold on the number two spot right now, and then Ray Davis is third. But that could change probably come the season. Wide receiver room, pretty, pretty thin, dude. This is where we might struggle. So we have Keon Coleman, our draftee, who we talked about. We signed Curtis Samuel, who I also mentioned. We had the return of Khalil Shakir. We also picked up Chase Claypool and Mac Collins. Those latter two, I really don't see anything more than being depth pieces.
And MVS today.
Yes, thank you very much. We picked up MVS today as well. Also another depth piece. I think if you're looking strictly at the wideout room, for fantasy purposes, you're going to focus on Khalil Shakir and Keon Coleman.
No, you're going to want to look elsewhere.
If you're looking at the Bills, you're looking for those two. Yeah, yeah. But yes, you are correct, dude. And if there's one pass catcher you want, that's a Buffalo Bill.
That's
it's this
right.
Next guy at tight end, Dalton Kincaid.
Fuck me.
Yeah. He's going to be the man this
year. Just traded him away.
He's going to be the man this year. He's going to build off an already impressive rookie year, I believe, coming forward. And then behind him is Dawson Knox. You're going to see a lot of two-end tight end sets here in Buffalo, which is what they ran a lot last year. So just be prepared for that. But I do expect Dalton's production to go up regardless.
Agreed.
So let's kind of break it down here, boys, like position-wise. So Josh Allen is still in line, in my eyes, to finish as a top three QB. That's not going to change anything. The
absolutely
the volume that he gets with his legs, you know, keeps him his floor stable no matter what. Don't let the departure of Diggs kind of fool you into thinking anything else. He's still going to finish top three.
I won't
be surprised if he finishes first.
I think
overall,
he finished one, didn't he?
He did finish one.
Yeah, and I think we all have Josh Allen stock, and it's not that he was struggling to start the year, but he got better once Joe Brady became the offensive coordinator.
Yes, he did. He was a lot more efficient, and funny enough, his running went up as well.
And I think that's why he got better.
Yeah. Yeah, from a fantasy standpoint, but I'm talking purely football, NFL standpoint, he was also a lot more efficient too. The running back room. So James Cook was actually quietly a top 12 running back in fantasy last season.
That's surprising.
So Joe Brady incorporated him more into the passing game once he took over play calling duties, and as I outlined in the depth chart there, I can see that being a trend this season, dude. I don't see him getting any less passes. That's for damn sure.
I think essentially to sum up what happened with the Buffalo Bills is Joe Brady red-weddinged Stephon Diggs for the better of the team.
That's a great analogy.
Sacrificed Stephon Diggs, who basically tanked once Joe Brady took over, and everyone else got better.
Yep.
Dalton Kincaid got more looks. Like, frankly, Josh Allen started spreading the ball around more.
Yep.
Josh Allen got better. He was more balanced from a dual threat standpoint, and he emphasized the running game.
Yes, he did.
And just getting that ball to James Cook, whether it was through air or through the ground.
Yeah, he emphasized just getting his best players the ball, essentially.
Because it felt like Josh was force-feeding Stephon a little
bit. It's been that the last few years, dude, yeah. Since Stephon was there. And, you know, to be fair to Stephon, he's an all-world wide receiver, dude. I mean, I'm going to try and get him the ball too. But, yeah, Joe Brady came in, completely revamped the offense for the better, both from a fantasy standpoint in terms of, like, you know, points across the board and from an actual NFL standpoint. Wide receivers, guys, you know, like I mentioned, there's not a lot of talent here, not a lot to be desired. But I would not be surprised if Keon Coleman puts up one of the best rookie campaigns, fantasy campaigns, I should say, of the year. Josh loves his big body wide receivers, and that guy is it. I can see Josh throwing to this guy in the red zone repeatedly, him and Dalton Kincaid. I wouldn't be surprised if he led the league for rookie touchdowns. That's just me. That's just me. I don't know.
Rookie touchdowns?
Yeah.
Over Marvin?
Over Marvin, dude. Over Marvin.
I think it on the board, dude.
I think it's possible, bro. He's got no one else to throw to except for Dalton.
Exactly.
And like I said, he loves to target those big bodies in the red zone. And now, actually, did you guys know MVS is 6'4"?
Yes. Yes, and he runs a 4.3.
Yeah, I didn't know he was 6'4", dude.
He also has three fingers.
He's also trash, yeah.
Three total fingers on both hands.
Three total fingers. He actually wears permanent clubs on both of his hands.
No, three total fingers, bro.
Three total fingers, dude. Yeah. Like an alien.
Yeah, I had no idea he was 6'4". But anyways, yeah, that size that we have now at that position is definitely a good thing. But like I said, MVS doesn't strike the fear in a lot of people's hearts. But Keon Coleman, I can see, definitely put up some big numbers.
I think him leading all rookies with touchdowns is a great bold prediction.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah,
I think so too.
Because he's not even in my top five, honestly.
Absolutely.
After the landing spot,
yeah,
he's still not in my top five.
And I would argue probably
outside top five rookie receivers?
Correct.
Oh, baby.
I would just say outside of you guys, the Chargers, the Bills were the most wide receiver needy team.
Yeah, I was going to say, this room is as bad as the Chargers.
Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, someone's got to put up, dude.
Pound for pound, dude. It's like, who's
worse?
I don't know who's worse.
Who's worse?
It's pretty bad, bro. Moving along, dudes. Khalil Shakir. So he kind of had a little bit of a breakout. I'd say maybe more flash than anything. A lot of this production came when Gabe Vincent went out. So
From the outside looking in, I just wish they would get him the ball more.
Me too. He's talented, bro.
Yes, dude. I feel like he's talented. And maybe this is just a bit of homerism because he's a local boy.
Yeah.
But I'm like, dude, like, whenever you lean on him, he comes down with the ball, man. Why don't you just make him the slot? I think this is the year.
Yeah, I think that Josh kind of learned that last year about him to where he could lean on him. We kind of saw it, you know, the more games that Gabe was out, that he did tend to lean on Khalil a little bit. So I'm hopeful that carries over to the season. But
his dynasty value is like surprisingly high.
Khalil,
that makes sense though. He's a young receiver that plays on a high-powered offense,
right? But like his numbers aren't there. But mm-hmm. Fantasy players see what we see,
right?
Like they see the potential there. Like I've targeted him in almost all 25 leagues, And I can't, I mean, unless I'm drastically overpaying, like, nobody's moving him.
Yeah.
Like,
it's tough, man.
I have to offer, like, a second round pick for the guy.
Also, yep. People, like, fall in love with their draft picks, bro.
This is true.
It's hard to kind of.
He's asleep here. Everyone's still sleeping on him.
Yeah. But overall, I would say that he's nothing more than a depth piece on your bench currently for the time being. Curtis Samuel, who I mentioned as a pickup, this was an interesting one to me, guys.
Surprisingly productive.
Surprisingly productive, but him and Khalil play the same position, essentially. They both play out of the slot. So, to me, his fantasy outlook is murky at best, dude. If I had to put a gun to my head and say choose one, I'm still picking up Khalil just based off the familiarity factor with Josh. And then lastly, guys, the guy I want to touch on the most, Dalton Kincaid, was the 11th best tight end last year as a rookie. And obviously, I like that number to go up higher this year. Out of all the pass catchers on the team, he's obviously the most talented. Surprisingly, when I did some research onto him, he only finished with 2 TDs last year. Sometimes I think that's surprising, and then sometimes I don't think it is when I think to Josh and who he typically targeted in the end zone, and that was the other tight end, Dawson Knox. Yep. So,
Or he just ran it himself.
Yeah, or he just ran it himself. I don't see that being the case this year. I think, you know, with a full season under Joe Brady, Josh is going to really lean on his pass catchers more.
More 2 tight end sets.
Yeah, more 2 tight end sets. I definitely going to see some targets for Dawson in the end zone. Again, like I mentioned, he's clearly the best pass catcher on the team currently. I wouldn't be shocked if he finishes a top 5 tight end.
Yeah, man, I'm kind of right there with you. Obviously, we all know who let Dalton Kincaid spread his wings. It was me. The moment I traded him.
Good job, dude.
You're welcome, bro. I had him on my dynasty team, and I traded him away, and literally Stephon Diggs got traded the next day.
Yeah.
So fuck me, right?
Yeah, man. He had a great year last year. I don't have the official stats here, but he had like 70-plus catches, some like 900 yards. Again, the touchdowns weren't there, but, you know, you can only – hope that it goes up. I mean,
he was the second half guy, dude.
Yeah,
really,
it's gotta go up after
the second part of the year.
2 touchdowns, dude. There's no way that he's only getting 2 touchdowns.
When Dawson Knox got hurt too, that's really when he emerged.
Yeah.
Where do you draft James Cook?
He's
probably
redraft?
Gonna go in the second round again.
Wow. Yeah,
that's where James Cook went last year. I think second, early third.
James, he was a rookie, bro. There's no way.
James Cook was not a rookie last year.
James wasn't a rookie last year, dude.
He was not a rookie?
Second year guy.
That was a sophomore year, dude.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure it was.
Maybe third or fourth round.
Either way, I mean, I was not drafting. He wasn't on any of my teams.
Neither was I, but.
Second round. I mean, top 12 running back. Okay.
I mean, like you said, D, like Joe Brady's going to get him more involved, obviously.
Are you drafting?
Both at the run game and the pass game. The pass game is where you kind of start to salivate as a fantasy manager for these running backs, right?
Yeah.
Like, James Cook is going to be the guy that's going to be like, okay, I'm going to catch you 50 balls. Plus, I'm going to get you maybe 15 to 20 carries a game. No matter where the production lies, if you were to tell me that, I think that's a second-round talent at running back.
Are you drafting James Cook or Josh Allen?
Oh, Josh Allen, dude.
Yeah. In the second round?
Yeah.
You're going to target Josh still?
Yeah. If he's still – I mean, that happened to me last year.
That's an easy pick.
Josh fell on my lap, dude.
And then where do you feel like you target Kincaid? Because at this point –
think you can get away with value with Kincaid.
I think you can too. I think maybe like 4 or 5.
Yeah.
I feel like someone's going to reach on him just because everyone's thinking, here comes Kelce 2.0.
Not now. Dalton Kincaid sucks, guys. He's been terrible in camp. Don't draft him.
His back.
He's dropping balls everywhere.
He's dropping balls everywhere.
His backs are still spasming.
Yeah. He's from Utah. He's trash, dude.
Utah tight end. Crap. Absolute crap.
Yeah, I'm looking at James Cook's numbers here. The only place that is really tough is he only had 2 rushing touchdowns.
Yeah.
Because fucking Josh Allen is eating everything else.
Yeah.
But other than that, man, we're talking, he finished 12th in PPR, 237 attempts on the ground, 1,100 yards, 4.7 a clip, 44 catches, 4 touchdowns.
230 attempts, bro. That's a hefty load, bro.
And I think he could have been even better if they had Joe Brady from the start of the year.
Imagine.
Ken Dorsey was just trash, dude. Like, horrible. he would, his game plans and his game scripts were all over the place, man. Like he would get away from the run, give up leads, just like, it was just, it's like, what are you doing, dude?
I will say this about James Cook, though. If you are thinking about drafting James Cook, maybe have a backup plan in place with another Buffalo running back, because for one, you don't draft a running back because your starting running back is going to get more carries, dude. They are wanting to decrease his workload most likely.
So keep him fresh longer.
Legs fresh. Yeah. So the fact that Ray Davis is coming on board, the fact that they have Ty Johnson, the fact I'm being dead honest here, Frank Gore could very well find himself in goal line situations.
God.
I'm just being dead honest, bro. In a effort to observe Josh's physical form, dude, I could very much see just giving the ball to a bruiser when you're on the 1 or 2 yard line rather than Joshy boy just getting pounded.
Sure.
Just very honestly, dude. So.
And Ray Davis, I mean.
Ray Davis can do it all, baby. Yes, let's go.
Mixed reviews on Ray Davis, but in a nutshell, he is a workhorse 3-down back that could run between the tackles and catch.
Yep. Which is what James Cook is.
You know, he's not elite, but he can do it. Yes, he did it in college.
Yes, he can. Anyways, go Bills, baby. Fuck both of you guys.
Let's go, Buffalo. Moving on, Frank, the Miami track team.
Dude, I mean, it's pretty simple.
Miami
here.
Sprinters.
Miami Cocainas.
I think everybody wanted a piece of this team, fantasy perspective, right? So
to the point that I traded for the piece.
Yeah.
Oh, in the offseason, this
one of the guys. Teams. So the guys that they added in free agency, Odell Beckham. I don't really know what they're going to do with that. I think that's more of a
veteran leadership, dude.
Yeah. Yes. Jonnu Smith, Jordy Fortson, players they drafted, Jalen Wright, Malik Washington, Taj Washington. I'm going to go through the depth chart real quick here. Tua, and then who gives a fuck after that, right? All we care about is Tua. We got the running back.
He was healthy last year.
Dude, I got a lot to say about him. He looked real good last year and was healthy the entire year. I think he just fell out of your bold prediction, which was top five, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Running back room. The number three running back in fantasy, Raheem Mostert, followed by the ATC darling, Devin Achane.
Raheem Mostert, I think also in our redraft league, was a 15th round pick.
Yeah,
dude.
Yes, he was.
That's crazy.
It's a good thing he went to a team that it like didn't matter.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know? Ryan.
Yeah, that would have boned us.
Yeah.
And then they went out and drafted Jalen Wright, which I think a lot of us on the show here thinks this is Mostert's eventual replacement down the line.
Agreed.
That dude, Ahmed, that came in out of nowhere, taking fucking touches away from our guys that we wanted, and then the all-noble, I'm hurt 90% of the season, Jeff Wilson. So,
still on my team, yes.
Let's look at this receiver room. Tyreek Hill.
Track star.
Fucking throat goat, baby. ATC 2023. Throat goat. Jalen Waddle really had a down year, killed some people where he got drafted.
I don't trust that guy, dude.
I think you don't trust anybody after, you know.
Reek?
Exactly.
Until Reek's gone, dude, Waddle is a non-factor.
I don't,
likely.
Honestly, I don't.
Even when Reek missed that game, Waddle didn't do shit.
I know. Don't remind me, dude.
This just dawned on me that I feel like Waddle is Xavier Worthy's like ceiling.
Ugh.
Like I'm just a fast, undersized wide receiver that's talented enough to make plays, but he doesn't have the body to withstand the rigors of the NFL. Because that's what Jalen Waddle has shown us. And he's flashed. He's been a low-end wide receiver one, high-end wide receiver two his whole career. But he's got
dude,
Mike Williams syndrome.
They just put physical corners on him, and he doesn't know what to do.
Agreed.
That's all he does.
Agreed.
What do I do?
Like, they're like, our six-round, 6'2 corner, get out there, dude. And Jalen Waddle doesn't
body
know
him.
What to do. Yeah.
Body him.
So then after OBJ, it's Braxton Berrios, Malik Washington, Taj Washington, two of the guys they drafted. Bunch of speed back there. 4-4 guys.
I'm low key bummed on the OBJ signing because Malik Washington to me just fits this team's profile.
4-4, baby.
Hold on, bro. What are you bummed about Odell, dude?
Well, just that Odell's coming in. He's going to be the third option instead of one of these rookie receivers.
Zero options, dude.
No, but what I'm saying
he's
is
literally
like,
there just for mentorship.
Correct. Right. But I like Malik Washington. And now he's never going to see the field. He's now the fourth receiver. Like, Odell's not joining that team to ride the pine, dude. Mm-hmm. Like, no, Malik's going to sit there.
I disagree, bro. If we've seen anything from McDaniels, it's that he's going to play the players that put out during practice. So if Malik shows out during practice over Odell, I guarantee you he's going to see some playing time. Guarantee it. Look at Devin Achane,
bro. That's a fair assessment.
No one even said anything about him before the season.
I did.
And guess what, dude? That guy showed out during practice, and McDaniels was all, fuck, this kid's fast as shit.
But who did he beat out?
Put him on the field, dude.
Ahmed, that's it.
That's all he needed. Exactly. In a hurt Jeff
You're
Wilson.
You're telling me
dude.
Malik Washington can't beat out Odell Buster?
I tell you what, if he can't, maybe he doesn't deserve a chance on the field.
Yeah, I agree, yeah. dude. I mean, I don't know, like, who the hell this guy beat up, dude, because, frankly, Dan Brugler and multiple people that I trust saw yeah. Malik Washington as one of the better receivers in this draft class. Like, the dude's got speed, the mm-hmm. dude's got hands, the dude's got game-breaking ability, and I don't know why. I honestly, like, what does the NFL know that we don't? Like, he had a third-round grade. Honestly, he had a third-round grade. So, like, I don't know why he fell so far. But
character issues, bro.
Could be, dude.
Gets you every time.
Could be.
Every time, dude.
And Taj Washington's trash.
Yep.
Straight up. Just like the tight ends.
It's just another speed guy. And then, yeah, the tight ends here, Jonnu Smith, Durham Smythe. I want nothing of that. So, again, to echo my point, the team was fantasy gold last season, right? And Tua specifically finished as a nice ninth-best quarterback. Best quarterback in fantasy last year with 4,600 yards, 29 touchdowns, and 14 picks. But there is a little bit of a red flag there. He finished 19th overall on a week-to-week basis, on a per-average basis, which put him around really bad company around there. So he's kind of volatile, but he does have the ability to at least be a quarterback one overall, right? But on a week-to-week basis, there is some risk there. So are we going to – what do we think? Do we think this is like a new norm for Tua? Like this is what we should expect on a week, you know, season – of season basis now, like now that we've seen him after a full healthy season?
I think this is who Tua is, you know, and I feel like the biggest question with Tua was not like, can he do it? It was just a matter of like, can he stay healthy?
Right.
You know, I don't think we ever questioned his talent. I think we literally questioned like, could his body and his literal brain
yeah.
can withstand the rigors of the NFL. And he showed us that he can do it.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like QB9 is exactly where he belongs.
Right.
You know, especially in this offense. He's very good at running this offense, but at the end of the day, you have a Hawaiian quarterback that's asked to play in negative 10 degree weather.
Exactly.
It's as plain as simple as that. Like, he looks good and the numbers are there, dude. If you look at his season, he was what? My bold prediction of him being the top five quarterback was correct up until
the
Halloween.
End of the season. Yeah.
Yes.
And then
so
it started getting cold.
Yeah, I was wrong. As soon as it got cold, so did Tua.
Yep.
So
that's all I really have to say about him. Brady, what do you think?
Yeah, man. I mean, Tua, like D said, is who he is, bro. He's a perfect complement to that system and nothing more, dude. Look at the – if anything, dude, I'd argue that his stats should be even better than what they were. And that's like – so we said 4,624 yards, 29 TDs, and 14 picks.
Yep.
I'm pretty sure Jared Goff had the exact same goddamn stat line, dude. Look it up, dude. I'm pretty sure we're comparing Tua to Jared Goff, bro. Jared Goff is running the Dolphins, essentially.
Yeah.
So, I mean.
The difference, though, is that Jared Goff plays in a dome, and so do most of his opponents.
I don't give a shit.
In the division.
I don't give
That's
a shit.
But that matters, dude. That matters.
I don't give
especially
a shit.
Especially at a fantasy perspective. Because, like, you got to know if you're going to take Tua.
All I'm saying is, if you have Tyreek Hill on the left of you and Jalen Waddle on the right, and you have Devin Achane behind you, bro.
You're very close, dude.
You should be putting up, like D said, top five QB fantasy numbers.
Oh, I agree.
And like you guys mentioned, when it gets cold or when the tough gets going, this guy fucking folds, bro.
He goes, dude.
He's gone.
Which is why you're not going to see him on any of my fantasy teams.
Yeah.
Because, like, when are the playoffs?
Yeah.
When it's fucking cold inside. And frankly, I'm the kind of guy that always assumes I'm going to make the playoffs every single year. So I look at that shit.
No, yeah.
Like, what are these players? Like, that's a deciding factor for me. Like, who are they playing week 15, 16, 17? Because I'm going to need them.
So never draft Drake May, dude.
Dude.
Yep, absolutely.
No, you know what, though? Like, I would say that for different reasons. Like, I'm not worried about the cold in Drake May. Like, he's from the East Coast. Like, he played in North Carolina.
A good point.
Like, that's fine. I'm more worried about, like...
his talent, dude. He's
yes,
not there.
Just,
dude.
just the overall talent, dude.
Yeah.
I'm more worried about his mechanics, his brain, his footwork. Like,
he's not ready, bro.
Everything that Gerard Mayo complained about after 1 hour of looking at him, dude.
Yep.
Yeah. Fuck.
So from the quarterback room, we go to the running back room. There's no way that Mostert repeats that fantasy success that we saw last year where he finished, fifth overall and third on a weekly average basis, right?
I'm not going to lie.
There's no way.
He looked fucking good.
He did. And he looked fresh. You know, like, he's the same age as Le'Veon Bell.
Jesus. Yeah, he's what, 33 years old?
I mean, might as well.
Basically,
be.
I think he's 32.
30, yeah, still. So
yeah, so he's 50 in running back years.
I did a push up the other day and I felt like I pulled my hammy, dude.
Hell so yeah.
Respect to this guy.
But, dude, he looked good. But I agree with you. I just don't see him repeating that, strictly from the fact that I honestly feel like they drafted his replacement.
Yeah, I agree.
You know, and Mostert's one of those guys where, like, he's always had it and he's just never been able to stay healthy.
Yeah. So from one running back, we go to the other one. Does Devin Achane get better this year? 24th finish on 800 on the ground, 8 touchdowns, 27 catches, 197 yards, 3 touchdowns through the air. Even though he missed the better part of last year.
He just needs to stay healthy, dude.
He just health. Needs to stay healthy, right?
Health. Again, like Mostert, health is his biggest thing. If he can stay healthy, this guy could easily push for a top five.
If you just look at his average, he was top five. Yeah. He was fourth.
Exactly. We loved the tape on this guy. We loved the landing spot.
Mm-hmm.
Well, hated it because I know you and I wanted him on the Chargers.
Yeah.
So once he fell to Miami, we're like, fuck, that's a good fantasy football landing spot. The only question we had about him was his size.
Right.
Yeah. And it showed. He's undersized. He got banged up. And I think...
And that's mainly... Sorry, Dee, I don't mean to cut you off, but that's mainly running outside of the tackles, too. If you guys remember, in college, he was a very north-south runner. Now that he got to the pros, McDaniels was like, let me get you to the outside a little more, and not as much, you know, rough and tumble. And still, he got fucking hurt, dude.
He still looked good between the tackles when he did run. Yeah,
he can do it, dude. Yeah,
he can do it, but, like, I don't... Like Dee was just mentioning, he's undersized. My 5'9 running
but
back
see,
getting up the middle, dude. Getting leveled by fucking whoever's that linebacker, dude.
Devin, on his best days, looked like CJ2K, bro. He was one snap away from 80 yards to the house every single time. And that's why, like, you're right. I agree with you. I'm terrified every time he takes that snap. But I'm also like, fuck yeah, let's go 85, baby, to the house. So, like, high risk, high reward, baby.
Oh, let's go.
Were we in Vegas last year?
No,
I don't know.
2 years ago for the draft.
I don't know where the fuck I was. All I remember was I was in an airport bar, hammered, watching Miami put up like 70 points on the Broncos.
Yep.
Yep.
And oh, no, you were on the way back from your epic trip, I think.
I don't remember.
I think it was that trip. Your
wasn't Chicago. That was a couple.
Chicago?
No, that was a couple years ago. Either way, I was coming back from somewhere, and I remember just being at an airport bar like, holy shit, what the hell?
60.
Yeah, it was incredible. And to kind of echo what I just talked about with Mostert, I think them drafting Jalen Wright told us what they thought about Achane.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, he's not a workhorse.
Right.
This is who he is. 100%. If he can stay healthy, he can build on this. Like, some people are starting to write off Achane because of the drafting of Jalen Wright.
Right.
I don't think the drafting of Jalen Wright affects Achane. It affects Mostert. Okay. This is Achane's role. He will get 10 to 15 touches a game. He will get the pass catching work and he will be extremely elite at it.
Mm-hmm.
And there's no reason why I believe he should not be in the conversation of a low end wide running back one.
I agree.
At the end of the year.
I think of
if Jahmyr Gibbs can do it.
I was just going to say the Detroit situation.
Agreed.
If they have something that works and they produce two running backs like that, this situation could work and they could produce two RB1s.
He was
Detroit
electric,
dude. Something right, dude.
That's why Jared Goff got paid.
God bless him.
Electric, bro. Like,
yeah, electric.
When he was healthy and looked like he was 100%, that dude was a fucking game changer. Was it 250 burgers?
Mm-hmm.
Fucking ridiculous, dude. In what?
And I still miss the playoffs, dude.
In what, two games? Two games alone had him as a top three running back.
Mm-hmm.
And he missed so that's including him missing the first few games of the season.
Yep.
That's how many fucking points this guy put up. So no, all my fucking fantasy players that I play with, you cannot have him.
Yeah.
He's staying on my team.
Yeah, I think the sky's the limit, man. He just has to stay healthy. I mean, and we just kind of talked about my next point is, how does Jalen Wright change this backfield, right? You know, he's going to come in, he's going to spell however they see fit in this first year, because I think, like you said, he's going to become that Mostert replacement for the long run. And what we're just going to have here, dude, is just essentially two low-end RB1s every year.
Agreed.
For a long time.
Agreed. Yep. And I'm taking HN third, fourth round. 100%.
You have to, because even, like I said, dude, he's a snap away from 85 every single time he touches the ball. You can't sleep on that.
And to touch on Mostert too, like, he's going to slide. Everyone's going to get all hyped up about Jalen Wright. I mean, we're kind of hyping it up too. Don't pass on the talent. Like, the numbers are there.
Where do we think Mostert lands this year?
I feel like he's going to land probably in the fifth or sixth round. And he's still not bad. And there's an argument to take him in the third or fourth. Like, mm-hmm. This is us saying a 30-something-year-old running back who was, what, number three overall or number five overall in fantasy football is going to fall that far. I mean, you just don't see that.
Right.
I mean, so look at Josh Jacobs, who's a much younger player, but he popped, right? And where did that buoy him? It buoyed him to the second round.
Yep.
You know, and that's kind of what Mostert did. Mostert popped. So, I mean, at the end of the day, I think a lot of it has to go see, like, where does the ADP position him?
Yeah.
And he'll probably get drafted around there, but I could see him just getting slept on again.
Right.
And I could see him just throwing up the middle finger and be like, you guys slept on me. Like,
and we're all going to be talking about him every week. God damn it.
So I'll probably draft him, and then he'll break his leg again.
Oh, man. The running back room is full of riches, baby. We cannot say the same about the receiver room.
There's just one massive.
It's Tyreek Hill. He's going top five. The ATC throw goat. It's either him or CD as the first receiver off the board, I think, in my opinion. And I think off a lot of people's boards. Reek finished 119 catches, 1,800 yards, 13 touchdowns. He was a first overall on a weekly average finish from the wide receiver position.
Guy was unbelievable, dude.
That's what the throat goat is.
Remember what he said? He said 2,000 yards.
I was going to say, yep. Dude.
And he was on track.
Until he got banged up. If there's anyone that thinks he's going to downgrade, dude, disregard that, bro. He's going for that 2K this year, and if he's healthy, he's going to hit it. Guaranteed. Man, there was nothing sweeter than waking up every Sunday knowing I had Reek in my lineup, mm-hmm. and I would still
I think
lose.
All of us had Reek. I had Reek in one of my leagues.
Let's go.
So here's an honest question, and oh, never mind. I just figured it out. So I'm looking at it right now. He was the number two overall wide receiver.
Number two.
I had a brain fart, but then I realized it was CeeDee Lamb.
CeeDee Lamb.
That was number one.
Yeah, you just mentioned that, dude. CeeDee or...
Right.
As the first receiver off the board, but I'm sorry. I think my stat probably confused you. On a per average basis, he was number one.
Okay.
So...
And on top of that, he was so good. He was the number four overall fantasy football scorer.
Yes.
So the amount of points that he was putting up was rivaling Jalen Hurts,
mm-hmm.
Josh Allen.
Quarterback territory.
Obviously, CeeDee Lamb is in front of him. So that's what you want, dude.
So for the first half of the season, it was Reek. But then the second half of the season was CeeDee.
Yes.
You remember he went on that run, and that's when things changed.
I traded for him. You know I love me some CD, baby.
So we could sit here talking about the throat goat all night.
I'll stroke him all night.
Let's talk about his running mate. Does Waddle rebound from a poor season?
I hope so, dude.
Does OBJ cannibalize the little production that he already has?
I honestly don't think OBJ affects Waddle whatsoever, dude.
I think if anything, it makes it even worse, dude.
I think Waddle affects Waddle, dude.
I think we already agreed. OBJ only affects Malik Washington, dude. So Malik Washington, get your shit together, dude.
I think we agreed. Dude, we don't want anything after Tyreek here, dude. So, but we got to talk about it, you know?
So Waddle.
I think it's a crapshoot here.
Missed some time.
Mm-hmm.
34th wide receiver overall. When he's healthy, and he showed it to us the year before, finished as wide receiver 8.
Yep.
He just seems too inconsistent, too volatile for me. I mean, and like I said, I feel like that's a good comp for what Xavier Worthy can potentially be. And as I'm looking at it here, he still played a handful of games, and he just didn't do it. I mean,
sucked.
I see two top 10 finishes.
Just ass across the board.
He was just ass, dude. He was just flags.
I see opportunity, bro.
And you know what? A lot of that was too, dude. He was getting banged up mid-game. So either, like, we're talking him leaving in the third quarter, him rolling his ankle and just trying to fight through it, like.
And then not producing for you.
Yeah, he was
just
fucking you on fantasy.
Yeah.
Fucking you every single Sunday, dude.
You don't forget those guys, bro.
No, you
don't.
You
never forget those motherfuckers.
I'm talking to you, brother. Brock Osweiler, fucking motherfucker.
And then, yeah, the next point, I think we've kind of echoed it already. Malik Washington, 4-4 guy. This is an offense that loves speed. Probably not much of a fantasy impact because of the OBJ signing, but something to keep an eye on, right?
taxi squad, dynasty stash.
And then stay away from the tight ends on this team. Please, God, do not draft a Miami tight end.
I don't even know who's the tight end in Miami. Is it Gesicki still?
No, it's Johnny Smith.
Oh, fuck.
And Durham Smythe. The point is, you don't want to own any of that. If you own one of those...
They're not involved.
Yeah, you've got bigger problems at large.
Agreed.
And that's it. That's all I've got for Miami.
One man's trash to another man's...
Trash.
Trash. The New York Jets, baby.
The ultimate trash. I have a fun fact for you guys before you get into this, D. So, obviously, do you know how many division titles, where they rank in the AFC West, or AFC East, excuse me?
The Jets?
Out of four teams, yeah.
Like, how many titles they've won?
Division titles, yes.
I feel like this is a trick question. Out of four teams. They have the most.
It's incorrect. They're fifth, actually. The Baltimore Colts have one more AFC East division title than the New York Jets.
Oh, my God. That's
There's
amazing.
Your fun fact for the day.
We should have cracked them to that.
Damn, we should have cracked them to that. Yeah. That's a good one.
Oh, yeah, dude. God bless the Jets, brother.
God bless the New York Jets.
Anyways, let it rip, dude.
Which team's worse, the Jets or the Giants?
The Jets.
The Jets,
The Jets
dude.
Will forever hold the a Jets? Place in my heart.
Like this season?
Oh, no. I mean, like, if I'm looking
right now.
At a team
dude, the Giants could have won a Super Bowl last year, and I would be like, the Jets. Yeah. The Jets today, are the worst.
Today, the Jets are worse?
Like, the team right now?
Yeah.
Nah, it's the Giants.
The Giants. It's the Giants. Yeah. But, like,
but
holistically,
Jets,
like,
yeah.
what you...
Oh, with our hearts.
It's the Jets, Jets dude.
Yeah. It's the Jets.
Rule number one, don't forget.
Don't draft a Jet.
Yeah. Unless his name is Breece Hall.
Exactly.
Agreed. So let's talk about the Jets. Added in free agency, Mike Williams, Tyrod Taylor. So they finally have a serviceable backup.
Yep.
For when Aaron Rodgers gets hurt. And he's going to get hurt.
Because he will.
He lost the Hunter, Zach Wilson. They traded away CJ Uzama, who did next to nothing. Players they drafted. Pretty sneaky offensive draft here. Malachi Corley, Braylon Allen, Jordan Travis, and... a no-name running back in Isaiah Davis. Looking at the depth chart, it's Aaron Rodgers. He played 1, 2, 3, I can count on one hand, 4 snaps before he snapped his Achilles.
Yes, he did.
And he missed most of the season. There was talks of him like being healthy and being holistic. Right. And Ashawashka, his fucking Achilles back to life.
I'm not going to lie to you. I really loved his highlight video that was like just viral after that.
It was
just him
running
on the field
with
the
flag.
Flag, dude. I was just
it was
like,
fucking sick.
Go,
it was sick. You know what the funny part is, too? And, like, sorry, Brady. They won that game.
Yeah.
They fucking won that game.
For a second there, you're like, Zach Wilson looks better.
And you remember the hype coming into that season? Like, okay, this Jets offense finally has a quarterback.
Man. They were like, were they on Hard Knocks?
Yeah.
They were on Hard Knocks, so they were everywhere.
Chemistry with Garrett Wilson. Like, and honestly, like, he just... I know you don't like Aaron Rodgers. I'm like, Aaron Rodgers is a cool dude. To me, he just seems like a cool dude. And like seeing him on Hard Knocks and he's just very like laid back, like I'm the fucking man and I fucking know I am. Like, yeah. You know, and just, I don't know. It was a bummer because I think we felt like, okay, the Jets have the Jets position players have the missing piece.
Yep.
And now we had to wait a whole fucking year. So here we go again, dude.
Here comes the Garrett Wilson, Breece Hall hype train.
Yes,
all fucking
here we
over
go.
Again.
Hop on, baby. Choo choo. Tyrod Taylor is going to back him up. So already an immediate upgrade over Zach Wilson and anyone else they try to throw out there. And Jordan Travis to me is a sneaky, undrafted.
Yes, tell me more.
Like
boy.
taxi tell squad more, stash, baby. Dude. So for those of you who don't know who Jordan Travis is, he was the quarterback for Florida State. And he was in the Heisman running. Florida State was undefeated. And then, unfortunately, the kid broke his leg.
Yep.
So his trajectory went from being that seventh quarterback, you know, to now he was borderline like a late-round pick to have drafted. So I like the fact that he's going to sit there behind Tyrod and he's going to sit there behind A-Rod. However long Aaron Rodgers is going to play, like, he could be a late stash, dude. Like, there could, you know, there was enough there. A little bit of a dual threat. He threw a good ball. So, you know, like, don't maybe spend your sixth or fifth round pick on him your rookie draft.
I did.
You did?
That's right.
Oh, shit.
Fifth round pick, baby.
I'm like, why is he agreeing with me so much?
Yes. Tell me more, baby.
Hell yeah. So, when we last saw Aaron Rodgers, too, He essentially played for the Packers, right?
He was on Joe Rogan.
His last full season, he finished QB 13, 3,700 yards, 26 TDs, 12 INTs.
Massive downgrade from the year prior.
Agreed. He was pretty much a top 10 quarterback ever since he started.
Yep.
Like, so he took the ball from Brett Favre, pretty much. Moving on to the wide receiver room. Garrett Wilson, Mike Williams, Malachi Corley, Jason Brownlee, and apparently Alan Lazard is still on this team.
Still fucking there, dude.
Jesus Christ, dude. Is Randall Cobb still there, too?
I hope so, dude.
Great character guy.
And yeah, Jordy Nelson. Guy. Is Jordy Nelson still there?
He's still running routes for the Raiders.
There's one wide receiver you need to know, and that's going to be Garrett the Hitman Wilson.
Breece Hall, that's right.
So once again, we will ask this question. Is this the Garrett Wilson breakout year? The man is starting year three, and despite his QB struggles, he's actually had back-to-back 1,000-yard seasons, only 7 touchdowns so far. He has yet to finish as a top 20 wide receiver. Watch the tape. The talent is obviously there. And on the flip side, he's had the worst quarterback play since he's entered the league. If we can get a healthy Aaron Rodgers, is he a top 10 wide receiver?
Yes.
No doubt.
Okay.
No doubt.
For 100%. Fantasy football?
100%. Yes. I think we all agree that 170 targets from Zach Wilson is
translates
like,
to 40%
catch rate. Dude, he finished with 168 targets.
That's what I'm saying. So, like, if we could just get Aaron Rodgers to do maybe 120 targets at, like, more of an 80% catch rate, that's money in the fucking bank.
And right. The chemistry was there, dude. The chemistry was there in training camp.
On Hard Knocks.
I was going to say, if anybody watch Hard Knocks, bro, everyone knows that A-Rod loved him some Garrett Wilson and is a Garrett Wilson truther. Since we've been playing Dynasty, there is no wide receiver that I've loved more than Garrett Wilson, dude, to this day. That guy is unbelievably talented. If A-Rod can stay on the field, he no doubt can push for a top 10 finish.
Wow.
No doubt, dude.
So his early ADP is in the second round. Again.
Don't draft a Jet, dude.
Unless he is Breece Hall, who unless I will touch Breece on Hall. In a second. So his new running mate, Garrett Wilson's new running mate, is shitty Mike Williams. He's 30 years old. He's injury prone. He tore his ACL, and he's not expected to be ready for camp. Like, fuck this guy, dude.
Like, I'm not going to lie to you. We're Charger fans over here, and I'm like,
yeah,
you're dead to me, bro.
Good riddance, dude.
Good fucker. And I was trying to, like, I was looking at his numbers, like, look, grasping for, like, what did he do well? Fucking nothing, dude.
Nothing, dude.
Nothing, dude. If anything, he kept looked good everyone in that training room, he kept them all afloat.
He looked good in the jersey, though.
Yes, he
did.
That's
that.
A great line, dude. I just got that. He gave everyone in the training room a job.
Essentially, dude. Mike will splash, but to me, he's not a redraft player for me. He's a best ball target. You know, draft him in your best ball leagues, yep. You know, because he'll have his splash game here and there, 2 touchdowns, this and that. I mean, he's injured. He's a big-bodied, contested catch receiver. We don't know how the ACL tear is going to affect him.
It's been like that since college, man.
And this is the most significant injury he's had. He's been a lot of back spasms and hamstrings.
He's had back injuries since college, though, right?
Right. Yeah. Oh, yeah. So he's been dealing with this since college. It's 15 years later. He's now 30 years old. And, you know, it is still Garrett Wilson's room. The addition of Mike Williams literally doesn't do shit for me. Like, nope. Garrett's going to get 170 targets. I know you said 120. He's going to get 170.
Yeah, I was just using, like.
And he's going to catch 160 of them, dude.
Let's go, baby.
Because he's that fucking good, baby.
Free Garrett, baby. Free him.
Free Garrett.
Get him on another team, dude. Fuck that sorry ass Jets.
So they drafted Malachi Corley. He's going to play the slot.
Sick name.
I'm not drafting either of these guys, but if I had to pick one, I'm going to pick Malachi, the rookie who I haven't seen take a snap in this league, over Mike Williams.
I agree.
I think that Aaron Rodgers also loves the slot guys because they kind of tend to produce.
Randall Cobb.
Yeah, they produce more when he's on the run and they like.
His are also usually white, and this guy's not. I don't think.
So you know what? I redact that statement.
Yeah. Well, Randall wasn't. Randall wasn't.
He's half, so
he's
still
half.
Counts.
Yeah,
he's
yeah.
Half. He's half. He's got a white wife. Yeah. So the Jets have already commented on him that he needs to expand his route tree, but they already expressed that they feel like they will be creative on getting him the ball. There's a lot of Deebo Samuel comps. I know I was one of those guys who did it. He's a slower version of Deebo, but they play a very similar style of, like, just get the ball in my hands. I'm a wide receiver, but I basically run like a running back.
So that could be nasty out of the slot.
It could be nasty out of the slot. And Aaron Rodgers is smart enough. he does have his favorites, but at the same time, like you said, he loves the slot player. If yep. you are getting open, I will continuously give you the ball.
He likes guys that he can trust, dude. Agreed. Is what he likes.
Agreed. I could see Malachi being a sneaky player, good dynasty stash, third round pick, and you'll probably see some production next year. Moving on to the crown jewel of this offense, Breece motherfucking Hall, Breece Lightning, baby.
Even, so many offers for this guy.
Oh, in our dynasty. If I had the pieces, I'd fucking offer him too.
And I turned them all down, dude.
So Breece Hall finished RB2 overall last year, and that is after tearing his ACL the year prior.
What a monster.
He did get off to a slow start, but from week 5 on, he averaged 17 points per game.
I'd say he only got off to a slow start because the coaching staff held him back, dude.
Potentially.
Yeah. But anyways, I digress. Go ahead.
So he averaged 17 points per game. He actually had 20.2 touches per game, 102.5 yards from week 5 on. So where did his numbers come from being on that shitty offense? Well, the passing game. So he actually led all running backs in targets, yards, and receptions. And on top of that, at the end of the season, when he was fully healthy, he had 4 top 3 finishes in the final 5 weeks of the season.
Yeah, it helps when your quarterback can't throw farther than 6 yards. Yes. So, hell yeah.
So there is a little bit of that for me when it comes to Breece Hall. And I, as much as I love Breece, I feel like the offense was unconventional. Where yeah, the quarterback play was so bad that they literally force-fed their best players.
Mm-hmm.
And since Zach Wilson was incapable of throwing it to the wide receiver outside of the hashes, he just constantly checked it down to Breece Hall.
Not just and him, too, dude. Like, any quarterback that was back there. Like, even when Zach was out for a few games.
That was the offense. And yeah. It comes down to Nathaniel Hackett. I don't know what he's doing in the league still.
I was just about to drop that, dude. I was just about to say Nathaniel Hackett is... what his name implies, a hack job, bro. You should not be in the fucking league at all, dude. At all.
Wow, that was well done.
He'll be... thanks, bro. Kudos to my wife. She loves wordplay, so shout out to you.
Nice.
But
was that a Mary Moondog?
Yeah, dude. No, I mean, I came up with it.
Oh, like, okay. I was going to say. Damn.
Yeah. I'm pretty impressed with myself right now, dude.
I'm impressed, too.
But anyways, we kind of had that running joke, dude, where Hackett and who do we say? Staley and... Canada would all be like yeah. the same coaching staff in Arthur Canada, Smith. Dude.
Yes. Oh, yeah. Arthur Smith, dude, yeah. running the O-line. Yep. Yeah. Yep.
Throw Dorsey in there, too. Fuck it. Oh, let it God. Ride.
But so his numbers were inflated because there were multiple games where he's seen like 7-8 targets. Do I really think that's going to happen there in Rodgers? No.
But we talked about this. What we might see, though, is just more quality,
a more efficient offense.
5 looks instead that of, actually go for
yeah,
10,
15,
and it works. 5 catches. And honestly, yeah. it works. Like, I could still see him being similar to a Christian McCaffrey where his 20 touches are 15 rushes and 5 catches a game.
Yes.
That's a great call.
And that is still a top 3 running back because he is that fucking good, dude. This kid is fucking electric, right? I don't want to call him generational, but he's easily one of the best running backs we've seen come out in the past 5 years.
Right.
Bijan is one. He is too, in my opinion.
I can't believe Spiller was like the number 2 back behind this guy.
Dude, that just goes to show you how bad the Chargers are at developing talent. I'm going to echo that point all show. We're ass, dude.
I like it, dude.
It's not that guy's fault, bro.
They were literally, for a while, because I followed that class very closely, dude.
I remember.
And Spiller and Breece were like 1 and 2, with Breece being 1 and Spiller being 2.
Mm-hmm. You and me both.
It's just wild, bro, that big of a drop off that it actually is once they get to the league, man.
Yeah, because we're ass, dude.
Yeah, fuck you guys.
And honestly, I don't know about Kyren, but Breece is a top 5 pick for me.
Oh, 100%. He should be the only.
I mean, Kyren's a pick for you, but
right.
C-Mac and right. Breece should be the only backs within the top 5.
Agreed.
The others should be wideouts.
If I'm going to rip this off the top of my head right now, I mean, and this is not going for number 1 to number 5, but I feel like the top 5 is CMC, Breece, JJ, Reek, CeeDee Lamb.
You still take Justin Jefferson over?
I'm not. There's no order. I'm just saying 5. I'm just saying five. So yeah.
I
think that's pretty much my 5 as well.
I would agree with you. I have been looking at what the industry thinks, and they tend to put Breece on the outside of those top 3 receivers.
Maybe because of injury history. I also find it fascinating, indeed, that you. I mean, I do too. Still, at the end of the day. but have JJ as a top five with JJ, that the other JJ there as his quarterback?
No, dude, it's going to be a what's his name from fucking USC?
Sam Darnold.
I don't think so, man.
Sam's going to win that job.
It's going to be JJ.
That's a not so bold prediction. Sam will win that job.
And he'll win it for the first week, dude. And then JJ will come
in. Win the job.
Walks out there, starts sees ghosts. Okay. And then he won't have a job anymore.
Remember like that Monday night game? Like, here's Jaren Hall, BYU. Like, this is the kid's dream. He lasted a fucking drive, dude.
Oh, man.
That was so bad.
JJ needs a gunslinger, though, bro. And that's not the other JJ. Like, when what's-his-name was there, fucking... You guys know what I'm talking about. The white kid was like Brett Favre, kind of light. Fucking, who was the quarterback there, bro? Who was throwing
Nick
the ball?
Mullins.
Nick Mullins. Thank you, dude. Mm. Would just force feed him the ball all the time. He needs a QB like that, bro. And J.J. McCarthy ain't that. Sam Darnold ain't that either, dude.
Yeah.
So
I don't know what Sam Darnold is.
We're going to find out.
Yeah.
To round up the Jets, tight end position, Tyler Conklin.
Always take the over on catches on this, guys.
Really?
Yep, always.
Okay.
Really?
Always.
He's not fantasy relevant. His best fantasy finish at tight end is tight end 16. Consistent from an NFL standpoint, he averages 87 targets, 588 passing yards the last 3 years. Like, it's good for a tight end, but he doesn't score touchdowns. And even with better quarterback play, I don't expect much more from him.
Me either. Just take the over. He'll be fine.
I also don't expect much from this next team. The New England Patriots.
The Pats, baby.
I low-key. No, I mean, it's not even low-key.
We should start with the shitty teams and end with the good ones, because I bet you half our listeners just turned that off right now.
I've been trying to, like, follow the division winners down, but this team could have the first pick overall this year. I mean, I'm just going to say it. Like, top down, this roster does not look good at all. They did add some decent players. Antonio Gibson, Jacoby Brissett, KJ Osborne, Austin Hooper, whatever. Who do they lose? Mac Jones, thank God. Devontae Parker, thank God. Zeke had his moments. As far as players they drafted, some fantasy-relevant players for Dynasty, Drake May, Jalen Polk, and Javon Baker. So right away, Jacoby Brissett, Drake May, Bailey Zappi round out the quarterback room. I will say it right now, I think Jacoby Brissett should win this job. He's a better NFL quarterback than a fantasy quarterback. In my opinion, he barely does enough to support his supporting cast. His best year was 2022, where he was kind of the quasi-starter for the Browns. And he had a few top 20 finishes. Drake May, I don't think he's ready. You know, he was arguably the top third. You know, he was in the top three as far as quarterbacks taken. But a lot came out once scouts started doing a deep dive on him. Like, yes, he was more raw than we thought. He took a step back that final year. He's got some mechanical issues he's got to clean up.
And he's not Justin Herbert. Damn fucking bright.
He's not Justin Herbert. No.
He might be this year, bro. Fucking Herbo's going to be on the downgrade, dude. Fucking A.
Shit, dude, you ain't wrong with that. I mean, he touched on this. Like, I could see some of the similarities, but... like, top down, like, it's not it. I would say athletically, and that's about it. In between the
is
shoulder pads.
Is that a kind way of saying he's white just like him?
No, I'm saying.
Yeah,
I mean,
it is.
No, I'm being, yes, right? Yes, yes.
He's a white guy.
Yeah,
dude.
Like, but just athletically.
Okay, you're not going to offend me, dude.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm going to say it. Like, athletically, that's the comp.
I love it, dude.
So, Ramondre Stevenson, arguably the best fantasy football asset on this team last year.
Oh, man. This guy was a disappointment.
Dude, he was. He took a step back. He was RB8 2022.
Mm-hmm.
Took a step back this year. Dealt with some injuries. Very inconsistent. He saw his yards per carry drop 4.8 to 4.
Had that high ankle sprain.
So, that doesn't sound like a lot. In running back terms, that's pretty significant. Going from 4.8 yards
almost
to 4.
Almost a whole fucking yard. Dude.
Yeah, when you extrapolate that over what? 15,
job,
20
dude.
Carries
it's
that
a
ends
lot,
up being
a lot of yards, dude.
That's a lot of yards. And then, like you said, Frankie had that severe high ankle sprain in week 13.
And it was bad. It was bad.
He never saw the field again.
Yep.
That said, he still averaged 12.3 points per game. He still projects to be the lead runner on this offense. But with the addition of Antonio Gibson, I feel like they have a safe and serviceable third down back. I mean, I feel like they try to shoe Zeke into that role. Capable, but like that's not really what he does.
What's up with the Patriots and just refusing to give Ramondre the job, dude?
And Ramondre is a three down back, dude.
He is.
He
and
can
they
catch.
Just prefer not
he can
to
fucking
do
catch. And they did it. Bill Belichick did it
that
the
year
prior. Like, I feel like his job was on the line. Like, okay, fuck, I don't want to give this guy the ball, but he's the only one that can do it. Mm-hmm. And he had a top 10 fantasy finish.
Yep.
And it's something that I predicted in the offseason. I'm like, I'm not buying the hype on Ramondre. And all my dynasty teams, and even midseason that year, I flipped Ramondre. Ramondre was a top five back halfway through 2022, and I moved him.
Nice.
So, and honestly, I'm not really touching him this year just because that team is so fucking bad. And once again,
we might end up with a guy that just looks good on, at the end of the day because of volume. So just something to keep in
potential.
Mind. Because they're so bad that he's the most talented guy on the fucking field any day.
I would probably still draft him ahead of Zamir White.
Oh, 100%. I think so,
just
too.
Just because he's done it already.
Yep.
Moving on to the wide receiver room.
God.
I
Did
feel
you
like,
just throw up in your mouth, dude?
I feel like I'm just like looking at like our notes here, and I'm like, I feel like I'm just whole shoulder. Like, you guys got the fun teams, the Bills and the Dolphins. Like, it's okay, guys. I'll take these two teams. So Kendrick Bourne led this wide receiver room. And let's not forget.
You mean by like he led it as in like he was just the first guy out of the room?
He was just the oldest. The oldest, literally the oldest.
He's the first guy out of the fucking
yes.
tent.
And literally the first guy off the team because he tore his ACL.
First in, first out, baby.
So, I mean, so there was a splash there. It doesn't matter anymore because the quarterbacks are completely different. But he had four touchdowns. He had three top 15 finishes, and then he tore his ACL. Who knows what could have been.
Right.
And then after him, I wouldn't even say this guy emerged, but someone had to. I mean, honestly, nobody took the baton. But DeMario Douglas became like the next best thing. And when I say best, I'm still talking like some of the worst. He was a very low and flex player at best. We're talking like a wide receiver 38, wide receiver 40 finishes. He was the epitome of five catches for 40 yards a game. And now what? So what have they done since then? So they tried to buoy the wide receiver room. They took two receivers, Javon Baker. They took, what's his name? Jalen Polk. And
it's an accurate description. Yeah. What's his name?
What's his name? So Javon Baker is interesting to me. He actually ranked second in FBS with 21.9 yards per reception. He pops on tape.
Yes, he does. Right? This is the dude we talked about who makes people stand out of wheelchairs.
Yes, and let's it's not go. Like necessarily that we talked about it. He talked
that's
about
true.
It because that's what that was. That
that's
was his.
Quote.
That was his direct quote.
Yeah.
So he's kind of a late round rookie draft pick there. And I could see a scenario where he becomes the guy. You know, I don't, right. as I'm looking at this receiver room, dude, Kendrick Bourne, Juju Smith-Schuster, KJ Osborne, Tyquan Thornton, like Jalen Reagor, Kayshawn Booty. Just there's just a ton of fucking booty on this team, dude.
Yeah,
from the top down, and I could easily see him being wide receiver three, wide receiver four on this team, and like kind of being that deep ball guy. So don't sleep on him. But there was a receiver they drafted before him, and that was Jalen Polk. In my opinion, I think this was a huge reach on the Patriots. I felt like at the time there's way better wide receivers available. I want to say he got drafted in the second round.
He did. Before, God, I forget. But he got drafted
before Adonai?
Yes.
Jesus
before
Christ.
Adonai.
And there were some things that Jalen Polk did really well. He had some of the best contested catchability in this draft class, and he had some of the best hands.
Yeah,
but
he's
what
a hands receiver, dude.
But what did he not do well? He did
Everything
not get
else.
Off the line. He could not run his routes. Dane Brugler, someone that I trust when it comes to his draft scouting, compared him to Josh Palmer. And Hunter Henry, the tight end, he's dead.
Yeah. Is he still on that team?
He's still on the team. He finished as tight end 19 overall. If Drake May starts, I could see him getting a little bit of a boost. Because rookie quarterbacks tend to lean on their tight ends.
Sure.
I don't think Drake May is going to start. I think this is going to be Jacoby Brissett's team. This is the New England Patriots for me are the 2023 Jets. Don't draft the New England Patriot.
Okay. I like it. And I stand by that as well.
Yeah. I'm with you.
We're moving on from the Bears. We're moving on from the Jets. Don't draft
Pats,
the Patriot.
The new don't draft.
Don't draft from the Pats.
And don't draft a Giant.
Don't draft a Giant.
Don't
Except for Malik Neighbors.
Not in redraft.
Yeah, not in redraft.
Not in redraft. In Dynasty, there's some stuff there.
Also, don't ever forget, do not draft a Jet.
Do not.
Ever.
I mean, I feel like I can't. I feel like we can't say that anymore,
yes,
dude.
Yes, we can.
I mean,
until they prove us otherwise.
Yeah.
Breece Hall. He was just the number two over. Like, you can't add an asterisk to it. Like, Breece Hall, like,
one
it's literally
exception.
Like.
Yes, we can. You know why?
That 1%, dude.
Because we're experts and we can say whatever the fuck we want.
Yes, we can. Thank you, Frank.
Oh,
and
man.
That's all we got, boys.
That's all we got. All right. AFC East is done. The three of us
in the bank
have a dynasty draft.
We do.
Our
we do.
Second of our, what, two dynasty leagues.
Of yep. our too many, dude.
too many.
One too many.
But who should I draft? I'll say it right now. I told him this. I'm actively trying to move up and swap picks to get the third pick.
Because you want fucking Marvin Harrison.
Because I want Marvin Harrison.
I fucking told you, dude. I think that's the strat.
But I've talked to teams two and teams three.
And they won't do it?
So team three, I think I'm offering him a good deal. And I think he's just nervous because it will require him. So I said, let's swap picks. Okay. I have the 10th pick in this draft. I said, I will give you my 10th pick. You give me 2, 3, and 2, 4. So 2/3 for the 10th. I said, I'll throw in a 2026 first, and he just traded away his third round pick. And I said, I'll give you your third round pick.
That's a hell of a deal.
I agreed.
That's a good
deal. Right now, he's hung up on the fact that he's losing his 2 seconds.
I wouldn't like that either.
Give me your 2 seconds.
And on top of that, I think he's worried that he's not going to end up with a quarterback. And I told him, like,
no, he will.
I mean, so if I take Marvin one,
it'll be Drake, but he will.
Right. So, I kind of told him that. I'm like, hey, dude, like, I mean, like, you're going to get the 9 and the 10 pick because he has the 9th pick. So, like, you're going to have the 9 and the 10. So, whoever you want at 3 and 4 are going to be there. You could still draft a quarterback in the 9, 10. They have been falling, but I think he's like, no, I want Caleb or Jaden. I'm like, well, in our current setup, like, you're not going to get either one of
right.
them.
Right, he's not.
Well, no, honestly, if we don't make this trade, he will get one of them.
Oh, okay.
But I'm confident that if I take Marvin first, I'm not getting either of those quarterbacks.
No, you won't.
And in the end, like, I don't think that's best for my team in the long run.
Let's talk about this more offline.
All right, late.
Late.
Fuck, it's doing that thing again.